A perfect trip is being there. This is the Thought for Today with Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. The perfect trips are being there. How does this work out in our life? The perfect trips are being there. We took a journey around California and Oregon this past week, visiting some of our students and having wonderful talks with them and sharing with them. And we drove the motorhome to all of these points. A very fascinating trip. Haven't looked at the speedometer to see how far we went, but quite likely it's over 1,000 miles, maybe 1,500 miles, something like that. And the trip went very beautifully. But each time we were any place, we were there. And when we thought of the trip, we thought, well, we're going to go and visit our friends up in Oregon. And as we go to visit Beverly and Molly Carson, they'll be there. And we just visualize them there in their little cottage and their house that they use as a church and that they use as their art studio and they use as their landscaping signal of the wonderful things they creatively do. And we were there. And then we thought we'd visit several other friends, Ron and Dorothy Gossett, who moved over to Florence in Oregon there, near the coast. And so we drove over there, and we hadn't had an opportunity to call ahead of time because we weren't sure what our trip was going to be. And so we just stopped right in, and we gave them a buzz at the gate, and they brought us in and said, "Hey, this is great. We just arrived home here 2 days ago from the desert, and the timing is perfect." Well, we just thought of visiting them. We didn't think that they might not be home or they might be home or anything else. We just went there to visit. And it's just a matter of being there. We were there mentally. And each time we went into Beverly and Wally's house, we felt, wow, what a beautiful experience this is. What wonderful people they are, how friendly and how joyous and how compatible they are with all of life and how they live the philosophy of the University of Healing, just 100%. And their lives are showing it. She's up in her 80s and she was dancing around like a spring chicken. You'd think that she was a ballet artist. And he was in his 90s and oh, he used a walker to help him there a little bit just to make himself more steady, but he was doing just fine. The thing that impressed me most about Wally was that perpetual smile on his face. He had that joyous expectation and enjoyment of life. No matter what he talked about, and he talked about a lot of things, no matter what he was interested in, he had that smile on his face. I gave a thought for today at his home. And as I was giving the lecture, he was going to take a nap. And then he heard that I was going to give the lecture. He said, "No way, I'm going to be out there." And not only was he out there, but he sat right next to me. And he gave me a chance to use him as an illustration in the lecture. And he was just alert and on top of it, just as though he'd been playing chess and word games all his life. Wide awake, alert, enthusiastic about life. It's really wonderful. It's wonderful. We had dinner, and apparently it's their habit not to drink much coffee in that house, which is just fine. And at dinner, Wally said, "No, I don't want any coffee." And then he smelled the coffee that we were having. And he says, "Yes, I think I will have a cup of coffee." See, we're a bad influence on him. We come there, and we change all of their attitudes, their ways of doing things. But they were great. And then the steps going up into the motorhome are no easy climb. You have to step up 4 or 5 steps. And Wally said, "Hey, I'm going up there." And he just grabbed a hold of the railing and walked right up into the motorhome. You see, people can do all sorts of wonderful things that we never expect them to do when we don't expect them to do it or not do it. We just said, "Hey, did you see our motorhome? Great, I'd like to see it." He didn't say, "Another time." He said, "I'd like to see it." And he just went trucking right up in there and just enjoyed it so thoroughly. Did we have it spread for him too? Yeah, we did. We had the extension put out, so it was even nicer. But you see, this is part of the wonderful thing about traveling, it's being there. Right now, as we relate the events of our trip, we don't relate the miles that we traveled. We don't relate the gas stops that we made. We don't relate the experiences that we had where we had a little imagination going on. We could, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful. We did everything just right and had a wonderful time. There were no bottlenecks that kept us from enjoying anything, because anything we wanted to do, it was there for us to do. Another thing we did was to go through the giant redwoods up in Oregon. They were glorious. They were beautiful. Then we went through them down in California too. Greg had to show them all to us because he thought that that was the most wonderful thing in the world. Apparently over in Switzerland, you don't have redwoods. You don't have these giant, giant trees that soar into the sky hundreds of feet. And they are beautiful. But one thing Switzerland does have, it has lots of trees, which makes up for the few tall ones that we have. But the trip was a great and a joyous experience. But it was a matter of being there. Every time we were thinking of anything, we were being there. And we had a lot of very good discussions, too. Perhaps not as many as we could have, because talking in the motorhome is not that salubrious. You are talking over the noise of things. Which reminds me, I probably should have my muffler looked at, too, because it seemed to make a hissing sound. So with that sound, it sort of drowned out everything else as you were talking. But going on a journey like that reveals a lot about the participants. People who flowed harmoniously with the journey had a good time. People who wanted things that they didn't have didn't have a good time. They were the ones who wanted to be here, wanted to be there, wanted to be this, wanted to be that. And in a trip like that, we see a certain condition of possession, on my part too. Possession of certain seats. I had the seat behind the navigator's seat. I didn't take the front seat because that was the duty of the person who was going to take charge of making sure we were on the right road at the right time, doing the right thing. And that didn't always happen. And the reason it didn't always happen is we got distracted. We got distracted by other things and we weren't paying attention to what we should have been paying attention to. Now, we were going to make this wonderful journey. And what's the first thing before you ever make a journey? You get maps for it. You find out where you're going. And we didn't do that. We didn't get the current maps of California from the AAA, and they sent them to us free. And we could have had the most beautiful maps in the world and had our trip all routed out for us perfectly, which we didn't need to do. But it could have been that way. And then we looked into our box that I bought in 1970 or 60, or a long time ago, of the National Geographic maps of California and Oregon and so forth. They're good, but they didn't have all the new roads on them. They didn't have all the new highways making them into freeways. And we thought some of the roads were just going to be little two-lane roads, and now they're four-lane roads and bigger. And you see, that's one of the things you do to make your trip one of being there. Because you get the latest maps. You get everything in perfect condition. And then you have a wonderful time. Well, basically, we did have a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time because everybody did their part and did the things that had to be done and just cooperated very wonderfully and beautifully with each other. And this, of course, is a contributing factor to being there. Now, if I said to you, okay, let's take a trip to Paris, just as an illustration, because everyone thinks of Paris. What's the first thing you would do? Mentally, you would think, oh, I better bone up on my French so I can speak French over there. Well, that's not what you do. Oh, I better get a map of Paris, the city, and see where the places are. No, that's not what you do. Oh, I better, you know, get my shots or vaccinations for going over to Paris, you know, because you need that. No, that's not what you do. Probably you don't need shots at all, anyhow. And, well, let's see. Oh, I better decide what sort of foods I'm going to eat so I don't eat things that are going to make me unhappy, because I want to be comfortable all the time that I'm there. That's not what you do. What do you do when you think of going on a trip to Paris? Mentally, you go there. Mentally, you see yourself walking down the Champs-Élysées. Mentally, you go to Notre Dame. Mentally, you go to the Louvre. Mentally, you go into all these places. You've made your trip already, you know. But mentally, you think of yourself doing these wonderful things. You think of yourself having these wonderful experiences. And in fact, you've had them before you even went. And that's being there. That's a wonderful thing of being there. Now, the little itty-bitty details of sitting in a sidewalk cafe or sitting in a lovely restaurant or eating here or standing looking at the beautiful pictures in the Louvre, that's all fascinating too. But that's not what you're going to remember. What you're going to remember is the ambience of Paris, the feeling of Paris, the charisma of Paris, the flow of the drama and the feeling of the streets and the people. And I assure you, every time you open your mouth, they're going to say, oh, you're an American, in perfect English. You go into the store and you say, you want to buy something, you try to use your pidgin French to say it, or your high school French, and the lady says, oh, I speak perfect English, what may I help you with, you know? Because everyone speaks whatever language you wish them to speak. If you were a Frenchman coming to the United States, you would find that everyone you spoke to would speak perfect French with you, if you wished it. But you see, most people coming here to the United States from France want to speak English. My trips over to Germany and to Switzerland were just a great fiasco. Every time I'd open my mouth and I'd try to speak in German to these people, they say, oh, I speak English. I said, that's no help. I want to learn to speak German. But you see, it's in being there. It's in being there. And so we were in the giant redwoods. We were on the coast, seeing the volcanic rocks that were shooting up from the base of the ocean right along the coast in this most beautiful expression of majesty that you could ever want. And the ocean was just perfect. The waves were rolling in beautiful surf rolls that the surfers loved. And the windsurfers were down there. And we watched the windsurfers as they were on the beach with wheels on their surfboard and a kite on their surfboard, and they were sailing along the beach. And then others were out into the ocean with their surfboards and a surf sail on it. They were just having wonderful times. And it wasn't, some of the days were warm and some of the days were cool. It was interesting because there was no 2 days exactly alike on our trip. Each one had a variety to it. But you see, this is what you visualize. This is in being there. When you are there, you're thinking of walking into the restaurant with your jacket on because the cold ocean wind is blowing up. You think of Ellen went into this restaurant, and it was a very charming restaurant. And then on the way out, she says, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. So she walks into the coffee shop, and the next thing you know, she's embroiled in a deep discussion with a bunch of Swiss people, telling how they have a Swiss heritage, going back to here and back to there and back to everywhere. And I quite imagine if she talked a few moments longer, she would have forgot her coffee, because the people were so fascinating. She was just involved in that. Now, as she recalls that place where we had lunch, she's not going to think of the beautiful lunch that we had. She's not going to think of the ocean outside as we looked out. She's going to remember her coffee afterwards with those people and with the charm and the magic that they had. But you see, that's being there. And this is what we always think. So if I say to Ellen, what was the name of that community? See, she doesn't even know the name of the community. But if I were to say the coffee shop with the Swiss people in it, oh yes, instantly she would just zip back there, just as though you had a pipeline for her to go back. Now that's being there. Well, she is not there. She is here. But when we point out that story, she is there. And when I say that Beverly came out to greet us, and she held open her arms to us just like some long-lost mother waiting for her children. Mm-hmm. And you say, she's 84 years old? My goodness, no. She must be some young spring chicken. And she was. She just came dancing out there in her lovely blue gossamer-type gown and her long flowing hair that looked like she was ready to be some actress in the swan song or something, and just a glorious lady, just a glorious lady. But that's what we're going to remember when we think of the Eugene, Oregon, where they live. We're going to remember Beverly standing there at the curb with Wally, and we didn't realize where they lived, and we just turned the corner and there they were out in front. And then we said, oh, that's their, oh, that must be them. And that was them. And we were just so thrilled to experience them. But now that's being there. Being there in all of our trips, in all of our experiences, is a matter of mental charisma, mental attitude, mental ambience. It is not a matter of physically ever being someplace. Because the physically being someplace is not what's going to be in our memory bank. It's the mentally being someplace that's going to be in our memory bank. And this is something that we'll never take out. If I say to Ingeborg, Dusseldorf, you know, what do you think of? You think of your home. You think of the community that you were in. And if I say Trieste, immediately she thinks of her husband. She thinks of this old buck who is in his 90s in there. And climbing these three or four stairs, that is, the house is three or four houses, three or four levels high, and he climbs the stairs every single day, two or three times, and no wonder he's healthy as a bear, you know. But she visualizes that, and she visualizes points at everything. And this is what being there is, visualizing points. We read in Jonathan Livingston Seagull how he was learning to be there, be at one point on the beach, and then in an instant be on another point on the beach, because he visualized that. Trips are a wonderful thing. They give us an opportunity to see whether we'd like to live with these people a long time. When we travel with people, and we are with people, and we spend time with people, we find out if we really want to live with them. Before you ever move in with a man or a woman, you get married or you have a friend that you want to live with for a while, you take a trip together. Take a trip where you have to live in the same room, even though you're going to have separate rooms when you are together. You have to live in the same room. You have to get up together. You have to go in the shower and you have to get cleaned up and you have to get yourself all ready for the trip and ready for the day. And are you considerate? Do you wipe out the sink for the next person? Do you hang up your towel, or do you wring it out, or do you put away your cosmetics, or do you just leave them spread all over the place so everybody's got to find a way to get around them without getting them all soaked while they're doing their thing? Do you carefully concern yourself that there's enough coffee for everybody to have some coffee at the table, and not just yourself? You take it out of the beaker and just pour it for yourself, and there's not enough for other people. And see, what are these things that you do when you're going on a trip, when you're being there with anybody? What you remember are the little things that make the trip a delight, And the little things that make a trip a delight are the things of consideration between one another, the things of consideration between what's going on in the world and what's going on between you. And when you have a happy time, it's because each one of you has given your best. Now, in a relationship, when each one gives their best, the relationship's quite nice. But it's not just a matter of today, it's every day. Every day of having a perfect relationship means giving your best every day. Now, what does this have to do with the trip and being there? Well, every time we take a journey, and you're taking journeys all the time, you're mentally going back in your mind to experiences of your childhood, experiences of your adulthood, experiences of life in itself, whether it affected you or not. You go back to a movie that you've seen. You go back to the ballet that you watched. You go back to the sunset that enchanted you so. And you're being there. Now, are these beings there good? And I don't mean judgmentally good. Are they good insofar as they're pleasant and pleasurable? Or do they bring back sad or uptight memories? I say to you, every one of us has the opportunity to create any situation we want in any way that we want it. If we had a bad childhood, create a good childhood. If we had a bad school years, create good school years. But that's lying. No, it isn't. You're just being the creator of your world and you're creating new. But people will expect me to tell the truth about my childhood. People don't even know about your childhood. The only thing they know about your childhood is what you tell them or how you act today as an adult. People don't know about your trip to Paris unless you tell them about your trip to Paris. And your trip to Paris is whatever you conclude of your trip to Paris. And if in your trip to Paris, the bus blew up, the building fell down, the whole neighborhood burned up in a big fire, and you remember one thing. You walked into Paris, and there was this little puppy dog sitting by the side of the road, no one to take care of it, no one to love it, and you picked up this little puppy dog and you brushed off the dust and you snuggled him, and that's what you remember about Paris. Now, all those other things truly did happen, but they didn't touch you. They were not part of your memory. They were not part of what you recall when you think of Paris. Some people, they think of Paris, they think of Notre Dame, they think of this lovely cathedral. Some people think of the East Bank, the West Bank, the North Bank, the South Bank, if there are such other banks. People think of whatever they want to think of. And I remember I was with Kurt Schweigart and Erica Schutte as we were in Paris, and Erica says, "I feel so good." And so I grabbed her arm and I said, "Let's dance." And we danced right down the Champs-Élysées. And here we were, a couple of Americans, they're German, and we were dancing down the Champs-Élysées. Nobody cared one little bit. Nobody even looked at us as far as we were concerned, because we were doing our thing. That was our trip. That was our trip. And I will never forget Erica Schutte. She just danced just like I did, and had such a ball, and here we were, foreigners in Paris, dancing along the street, and the people didn't pay any attention to us. If they paid any attention to us, it was with a smile. Crazy people, look at them. Aren't they having fun? Isn't their trip to Paris wonderful? And you see, you create what you want, and you create in your world and out of your world what you want. So as you take your journeys and you're being there, be there with that which delights you and pleases you. And if anything displeased you, release it. If anything gave you an unhappy feeling, release it. Accept only the fact that all is in divine order and you are the master. Can you see being there is what our trip's all about? As you recall our trip now to Oregon and Northern California, remember it for all the highlights of joy, all the highlights of magic and beauty and goodness, and all the highlights of happiness that we did have. And we had lots of them. And at the breakfast table this morning, you were remembering Greg, and you were saying such a beatific smile he had, such a joyous self-confidence he had, such a delight to see him. Every time we see him, he seems to have made another 360-degree turn in his consciousness and becomes all the more beautiful person. Well, that's terrific. Remember that not only about Greg. He doesn't deserve to have all of it. Remember it about everybody that you visit. Everybody you visit. Ellen said she had an idea of what Beverly and Wally Carlson were like, and she visualized them as two elderly people. And when she got there, the word elderly just didn't fit. It didn't belong. And she had to rewrite her script of how she thought about them. And she had to rewrite her script about what she thought about Ron and Dorothy. Because the Gossetts were not at all like she expected. She expected them to be just beautiful, ordinary, wonderful people. And here they were dynamic, forceful, outgoing people. And Ron is an exquisite artist, as well as Beverly. Beverly's a grand artist. And I had a chat with Beverly, and I think that was a highlight for me. And Beverly had done the disciples. She had done many religious pictures in her paintings and had done a good job. And I said, Beverly, as she said to me first, she says, I am ready for a new me. I'm going to do some new type of painting, but I haven't figured out what yet. And I said, Beverly, if you paint what other people visualize a religious experience to be like the disciples and so forth, you're painting limitation. Go within yourself to the center of your own being and find your spiritual source and paint from that. Paint from the delight of your own inner self and you'll be the happiest girl on earth. And she says, I knew I'd find that answer. I knew it. And so that's what she's going to do. I am eager to see her paintings. Yes, all of us take journeys. And Beverly and Wally are going to remember us having been there, especially since Sylvia left her purse in the living room and they had to mail it back. But that's okay. And what did Ingeborg do? The minute we went there, Ingeborg found a little puppy. She found a little puppy that she just couldn't resist, and that was Wally. Wally was her little puppy. She wanted to snuggle him. She wanted to help him. She wanted to push him around like a little puppy. And she just had a grand time. And Wally loved it. And Wally loved it. You see, what we remember from our different journeys, our being there, is the joy in our heart, is the delight in our heart, the little puppies that we find, the beautiful paintings, the trees, the people from Switzerland who talk about this cappuccino coffees and stuff like that. And you know, I oftentimes think some of the silliest people in the world are people who drink cappuccino coffee. They drink these little tiny shots of coffee, if that's what that's called. They drink these little shots of coffee and down the hatch and espresso, and what happens? It's gone, done, you know. You had one little slug, and you have no savoring taste. And you see, the espresso is like driving through the redwoods and not stopping to look at them, to touch them, to feel the bark, to lay on the fallen timber and look up at the beautiful spires into the sky. Espresso is like that. You get your shot quick and quick and dirty, as they say in printing, but you get your shot quick and fast, And then you're on your way, and you never had a chance to smell the roses and smile at the roses. You never had a chance to lay down on the floor of the forest and look up at those towering trees, some of the tallest trees in the world and the oldest trees in the world. Here, before the time of Christ, before the time of the ancients, before the time of the turn of time. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And you know, just a little side I'm going to throw in here. We sometimes think that the life of Jesus was not important. We sometimes think that Christianity is on a par with all the other religions in the world. And yet, our time, the year began, so to speak, with the birth of Christ. The new time, BC and AD, remember?
Yeah.
And let that be a significant reminder in you that perhaps there's more to this teachings of Jesus and the life of Jesus than we've ever given credit to it. And just let the monument of the change in the AD, BC time of the world, that didn't happen by accident. Your trips don't happen by accident. Get the most out of them. Enjoy them, delight in them, and thrill in them. Because you deserve the very best. Because you are the very best. Have a wonderful day and have wonderful trips. And just know I love you very, very much.